Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
You know, some people do get lucky, but it's a very small percentage of people. The ones that make it work and make it happen are the ones that first seek out the education and seek out the right ways to do things and then just take massive action.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shump, and in this episode, we're speaking with business owner, buyer's agent, and successful investor, Luke Bailey. Stay tuned to hear all about Bailey's investment strategy, how he conditions his mindset, and his tips and tricks on getting educated in investment. Bailey shares the strategies he uses to grow his portfolio.
It really has evolved, I guess you could say, as times went on. And like it does for many people, once you start to learn more, you start to evolve your strategy. So initially, it was, you know, just buy anything close to where I was living, which is not the best strategy. But as it's evolved to I would say, the last few or at least to now, it is buying properties that are higher yielding, but in decent areas where you're going to get some solid capital growth. So I'm looking at, you know, higher yielding properties where the rent will cover all the associated costs with that house is probably the rule number one. Number two would be buying under market value. So buying something, you know, under the comparative market sales is what is selling in the particular suburb. Thirdly, now, I'm looking for things where I can add value. So the add value components really probably only become apparent the last couple of purchases, where I'm looking at things like, you know, is there a potential for subdivision? Is there a potential for a cosmetic renovation to uplift the value of this property? So I'm not just relying on capital growth. I mean, capital growth is what you're aiming for a property, but if you can add value as well as that, you're really double downing on your equity positions.
When we last spoke to Bailey, he discussed his first four investments. He now describes the current state of his portfolio.
Currently selling my 14th property. So I've currently got 12, but almost 14. It looks as if, touch wood, that they're going through. But yes, since then, it's probably been number eight, I reckon, I started to think about adding value through cosmetic or renovations or structural renovations or subdivisions, or have that in the back of the mind. And it's not something that I initially do straight away. It's something that I buy with the thought process that I can do this at any time to uplift and increase the value. I don't necessarily have to buy it, uplift it, and then use that equity. It's just something that I've got there.
These properties are now all over the country.
Currently, they're across three different states. So I've got South Australia, Tasmania, and also parts of Brisbane or Queensland. So in terms of where they're located, mostly south coast of South Australia, Adelaide, Hobart, Launceston, and also south of Brisbane.
And which one so far to date do you think has performed the best for you?
It's probably the Hobart purchase that I initially spoke about, as well as the primary residence that I bought as property number three in Glenelg in 2013, I think it was, and That's performed exceptionally well. It was, you know, really bought at the bottom of the market in Glenelg. It was bought at a really good price, and that's performed exceptionally well. So I'd say probably those two have done the best.
Bailey expands on the purchase of his primary residence in Adelaide and how he sourced that property.
The one in Glenelg was actually on market. I was actually working away at the time, and I was looking for a property here in Glenelg, which is, for people that don't know, Glenelg, it's, you know, sort of a prestige suburb of Adelaide. It's on the beach, and, you know, it's quite nice, and I always wanted to live there. So, yeah, well, it was this one was on market, and I guess I got in really quickly and had my my finances, you know, fully approved because I was working away at the time, which I think was probably initially what got it over the line. It's the Glenelg market has done really well over the last few years, so it's been a good market.
He explains how he pulled together an impressive portfolio in the time frame which he did.
With lending as hard as it is now, it's even tougher. It's going to be tougher for people to, you know, even break the 10 mark or even the 5 mark. But I guess when I was doing a lot of this, I was on really high income. So I was working away as a majority of this time as a fly-in, fly-out electrician, where I was on, a good couple $100,000 a year as a full-time employee. So that when you're on that sort of money, it's so much easier to borrow money opposed to someone that's maybe working in the city, and also focusing on properties that are higher yielding properties as well increases the serviceability. So, you know, you really have to, focus on that, and particularly moving forward. I'm a big supporter of, you know, buying high yielding properties because they're going to support you serviceability wise to get into your next one a lot quicker.
Bailey is planning to stick by his tried and tested strategy of keeping it simple.
I think potentially going into property development, you know, could be on the radar, but I'm probably still someone that just loves the simple buy and add value and keep things simple, because I know that when you start getting into property development, it can be a different ball game, and depending on, you know, how many you're wanting to build, you know, you can roll into commercial finance and get a little bit tricky in that. So at the moment, I'm really thinking just about keeping it simple, not trying to overcomplicate things. And, you know, if there's an opportunity to get into property development, I might even go into a JV partnership in the property development scene, and sort of more operate as a silent partner. But probably I'm someone that likes to keep things really simple.
He discusses why he started and continues to grow his portfolio.
I think it's really to set or help set myself and my family up for years to come, and not have to worry so much about the financial side of things. And ultimately, probably the underlying why is to enable me to be able to control my time. And I'm not so much a money-orientated person, but I understand that controlling your time and not being, a slave to something you're not necessarily wanting to do is probably my underlying driver of why I'm doing all this, because we've only got a certain amount of time on this earth, and you want to be able to save every moment and do what you're wanting to do with it.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear about the things that affected Bailey's early investment experiences.
Everyone's got an opinion about it, whether it's good or bad. People have an opinion to it.
Ways he got himself educated on investment.
I managed to find some people within my networks that, you know, owned, you know, 50, 60, 100 properties, and managed to, get in front of some people for a coffee or for a lunch.
As well as how he conditions his mindset every day.
You know, getting up in the morning and doing some exercise and doing some mindfulness training and getting into a really good structure, because I think it's key to success.
All that and much more coming up next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. As he started investing so young, Bailey says many people had varying opinions of his choice to do so.
There's so many people out there that love to have their opinion about different subjects, and property being such a popular topic in Australia, everyone's got an opinion about it, whether it's good or bad. It, you know, people have an opinion. So there was probably some people that were saying, you know, even back in, you know, 2000 and what, when was it, 2006 when I bought my first property, that the market's already topped out. And if we look now about what's happened since 2006, there certainly hasn't topped out. It's had exceptional growth around Australia. So it was probably listening to people that had opinions based around property that it's only their opinion. I think sometimes you've really got to seek out people that have already achieved what you're wanting to achieve. And I think that's super important, no matter whether it's in property or whether it's in something else, finding, getting your information from the right source is super important.
Due to his career, Bailey thinks a lot of these opinions could be based off personal experiences of bad investment.
I was just going to say one thing on that is I, working in the fly-in, fly-out and mining industries, a lot of mining towns in Australia haven't performed that well over the last few years. I think everybody sort of is quite aware of, you know, markets like such as Gladstone and Port Hedland that haven't done so well. So working in, you know, in those sort of areas as an electrician, I worked with a lot of people that invested in those areas because they were working in those towns, and they are obviously very anti-property because they've, you know, they bought, you know, properties, you know, maybe $800,000 properties that are now worth $400,000, and you really got to feel for those sort of people. But you really do feel for them. But I guess they were, you know, it comes back to educating yourself from the, you know, the correct sources.
Bailey made sure to get himself properly educated when he started investing seriously.
I managed to find a combination of doing a lot of educational courses. A lot of these were paid courses where you're actually paying money to, be around other people that are on the same journey and learning from somebody that has achieved what you're wanting to achieve. So, you know, a lot of these were paid courses, but I managed to find some people within my networks that, you know, owned, you know, 50, 60, 100 properties and managed to, you know, get in front of some people for a coffee or for a lunch. And the amount of coffees and lunches that I've had from people that I've, you know, learnt things from, whether it's in property or business, I think I've lost count, but it's a great way for anybody just wanting to learn something. Even if you don't have the money to invest in a paid course, there are genuinely people out there that are happy to have a coffee or have a lunch just to share some knowledge and give back.
Totally, totally agree. And that's what's happened on this podcast. A lot of people have come on so gracefully, and I'm so grateful for their time as well, because it is an hour of their time to share their knowledge like yourself. And it's just been phenomenal to learn so much from each and every individual as well. What about books? Have you got any books that you could recommend to listeners, and also why you suggest them?
Yeah, so I'm an avid reader of both property related books, but also self development and personal development. I like to read probably two or three books like per week. I think books have been one of the things that's really helped me out. But in terms of recommendations, property based, I think, yeah, Donald, love him or hate him, I think Donald Trump, Art of the Deal is a really good book in talking about how he's gone about a lot of his deals. But I think Australian books, I think anything from John Lindeman, Unlocking the Australian Property Market is a good one. The Seven Steps, I can't remember the exact title, but Seven Steps to Unlocking the Property Market.
I think,
that's correct. Yeah, that's a really good one. And Michael Yardney has a good couple of books as well that advises people on, you know, a range of topics from getting your buying entity correct straight away to what to look for in investing and things like that. So there's some really good resources out there. But I'm a big fan of John Lindeman and his books.
He he shares the best advice he believes he has ever received.
The best advice, would be probably when I started to understand and someone really started to teach me about the power of leverage. Not over-leveraging, but the power of leverage, which I'll explain what I mean by it, is with property, the banks allow you in many cases to borrow at least 80%, but in some cases 90% and above, just depends on the situation, where you're buying something that is, say, example, $400,000, and you may have only put maybe $40,000 or $60,000 of your own money. But if that property goes up 5% per annum, you're not making 5% on your money. You're actually making 5% on the entire amount, which is majority of it's leveraged, which can actually mean, 30, 40, 50% even higher return on your money. And when I started to get that, it was kind of game changing for me, because I understood that with property, you can put a very small amount down, and if you're buying the right property, with the power of leverage, it's going to compound and compound and compound. And one of Warren Buffett's famous sayings is, the seventh wonder of the world, or eighth wonder of the world, is compound interest. And it's so true. Probably the power of leverage, but not over leveraging, is a very good thing that I learned.
Here's an example of what he means by this.
Let's say we use a $400,000 property as an example. And let's say that property increases 5% per annum. So that, let's say from when you bought it to year one, it increases 5%. So that property has gone from 400 to now 420, because that's 5%. But that actual property initially, you might have put down a 10% deposit plus stamp duty and a few other bits and pieces. It might have only cost you $60,000 to acquire that property out of your own money, but you've actually made $20,000 on it. So you've made on your money 33% return on investment so far. Now that's an example I've just thrown out there based on a 5% capital growth, and you've obviously got interest repayments and council rates and things like that. But if you're getting the rent to cover all of that, I guess your return on investment is much higher than many other investment strategies out there, such as superannuation and bank interest and things like that.
Bailey has learnt various habits that contribute to his success from others, including his daily morning routine.
Probably a couple of years ago, actually, I started to develop a morning routine, and I'm a little bit obsessed with people's. I love learning about people's morning routines, because I know that it's really given me an edge, I think, and that's getting up in the morning and doing some exercise and doing some mindfulness training and getting into a really good structure, because I think it's key to success. And I think that you read about a lot of people that have done really well for themselves in different areas of their life, and most of those people have a set morning routine. And I love reading and listening and talking about morning routines, because I think when you set yourself up in the morning and you have a good morning, you really have a good day.
If Bailey could give his younger self some advice, he'd like to say this.
Remember, sort of 10 years ago, it would have been find the people that you want to be like and convince them to teach you. I've acquired mentors over the last few years, but I would have liked to have met some of these people earlier, some of the people that I aspire to be like. And I think that's something that everybody should do, is really find people that you're wanting to be like and really do whatever it takes to learn from them.
He's excited to expand his business in the next 5 years.
What I'm most excited about is relaying some of the information that I've managed to learn over the years and actually teaching other people through my buyer's agency, and relaying some of the information that both good and bad things to help other people fast track. And if people can get good advice, and in the property industry around Australia, there is some really good advice out there, and there's some also some poor advice. And I think I'm really excited about, you know, teaching people the things that I've learnt, and hopefully, you know, if I can teach a couple of people, that's a good thing.
Bailey believes in making your own luck and turning it into action to get results.
I actually think you are famous quote by Gary Player, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think it's a really good quote. I don't think anything's, you know, some people do get lucky, but it's a very small percentage of people. The ones that make it work and make it happen are the ones that first seek out the education and seek out the right ways to do things, and then just take massive action. It's all well and good to know something, but that's only half the equation. You've really got to take massive action and you know, to make things happen.
If you're looking to get in contact with Luke Bailey, here's how to do it.
So they can check me out on my website, which is fourtier.com.au, or they can find me through Facebook, which is Fourtier Buyers Agency. I put out a lot of property-related content and videos, and you know, they can watch them, and hopefully they can learn some of the things that I've learned over the years. So yeah, Fourtier Property.
Thank you to Luke Bailey, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.